Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, Fungal Associates?
I'm sorry, Alex, I can't hear anything.
You can't?
No. There's nothing. I'm supposed to hear music. What's happening?
Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I am one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson. Of course, across the room from me is Mr. KC Clapp.
I have to admit to everyone, I was making a joke. Usually Alex has a button that he presses, so it makes us hear the music that you hear, and that button apparently failed just now.
Well, you know, KC, we've had sort of a whirlwind last couple of hours.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
You came over to work, and we just sort of like have been cruising,
yeah,
and we have been putting off hitting record while we got some other stuff done.
Exactly.
And I will say
that the best for last.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Well, after this, we have a live stream,
that's
which is also
true.
The best. Everything's the best all the time. Well, I will say I could have made the song work that we could hear it,
okay.
But it would have required, this is how low my threshold is today. It would have required just one more mouse click, and my brain made the snap decision.
It's like, no,
that it wasn't worth it because I just wanted to record.
Okay, I think this is very, very fair, Alex.
Just a little look into my how deep my laziness runs.
There's no compromise to it.
Mm-mm, no,
you know there is a one of my last jobs at the city. We actually counted clicks that it would take to do certain processes to see which one would be like more efficient.
Cool.
And the new process, they're like, well, technically it is fewer clicks, but the program was like a modern web-based program as opposed to like a late 90s, early 2000s, like very basic, like you just kind of type it in and it does exactly what it needs to do, but like the functionality is like old and didn't really work very well.
Comes on CD-ROM.
Yes, right, that kind of thing. The thing is, though, more clicks and everything went 10 times faster because it was so simple and like didn't have to like check in with other databases and like go to the internet and come back. It was very much like on the desktop and it'd be like, boom, done.
Right.
So your click went further. So it's like fewer clicks, but better clicks. All of a sudden now we're like debating the quality of click.
You know, in this day and age in America, you really gotta think about the value of the click.
You do. It is the thing.
How far your click will take you.
Yeah, I ask myself that every single time, and I cannot tell you how many times I have fallen for a phishing scam. Every single time.
All those African princes need your help, Casey.
Did I ever tell you about a comic that I saw? It was like a 2-part comic on the top. It said it was like someone being like, not falling for that one again. And then the next thing down, it was like a Nigerian prince who was just like lamenting that nobody's taking his money. He's like, I'm just trying to give it away. It was really, it made me laugh.
I love the play on that.
Isn't it good?
Casey.
Good day, Alex. Before we get started.
Oh, wow.
Have you seen Asteroid City yet?
No.
Neither have I. Just checking in.
Well,
moving on.
Great.
I really want to see it. I was telling you, Alex, I wanted to invite you out, but
yes,
and then other things came up.
You just couldn't take yourself to hanging out with me socially outside of the podcast.
How dare you? That is not true. Just so happened.
I wanted to take you out, but I hit my quota for the day.
Sorry, Alex. It's been 3 hours. Yeah. I just can't stand you anymore.
Casey, I would love to see Asteroid City sometime.
Yeah.
Probably VOD whenever it comes out. However, today we are talking about... wow, I can't even make a bridge to it.
It's a trio D.
How about this? Something completely unrelated. And that is a tree.
That's the problem. This is a podcast about trees and related topics.
That's right.
So it can't be unrelated.
There's probably trees in Asteroid City. I think there's more cacti probably.
Oh yeah. So really we'd have to, that opens up a whole new debate. You're right. Let's skip it.
We're skipping it.
Yeah. Yeah. Segway. Enter here.
Casey, today is the last episode of our summer vacation. I'm so homesick. I could cry.
I know. It's one of those things that goes both ways, though, doesn't it?
That's
right. You
don't
want to leave, but you also just want to go home.
And in a few months, you'll miss where you are now.
Exactly.
And where we are now is, I believe, Sri Lanka.
That is the best place to be right now.
And today's tree that we are talking about is... The species is the sacred fig.
I was going to say the sacred fig, the bow tree, the Bodhi, the people tree.
You just turned into Trump for a second.
Yeah, just a little bit. It's the best tree.
Sri Lanka has the best trees.
Everyone knows this.
I wasn't even trying. Casey, would you want to take a stab at the full name of this guy?
Yes, Ficus religiosa.
Okay.
Well, is that the full name you're referring to?
All right, hold on.
Oh, wait, you're talking about this particular tree, Jaya Sri Maha Bodhi.
Yes, Jaya Sri Maha Bodhi.
Yes.
And this is this tree resides in Sri Lanka.
Yes.
In the grounds of a Buddhist temple or a Hindu temple?
Yes, it is in the city of Anuradhapura, I believe is approximately how it's said. Again, you guys, you all forgive us out there. We do try.
We do our best.
So yes, it is in a city in Sri Lanka, and it is in a Buddhist shrine, as many places are. But funny thing about this tree, wherever it is, often becomes a Buddhist shrine.
Oh, how fascinating.
But then other times, it is planted specifically in a place that is or will be a Buddhist shrine.
So you can kind of reverse engineer a Buddhist shrine by planting one of these?
Exactly, because the tree itself is sacred. So whenever a tree happens to be growing somewhere,
right.
It's very rarely, if ever, cut down. It is treated with respect, and often you see offerings and things kind of end up popping up around them.
Very interesting, Casey. Yeah.
Now, I have to say, just logistically speaking, I read this in a lovely book, and it was like, it causes trouble for the general person who a bird eats this little fig because it is a fig species.
Right.
And then drops its seed. And these are, this species is pretty much the same as our banyan tree, Ficus bengalensis.
Mm-hmm.
It is a strangler fig in that ilk.
Okay.
However, that means that it also grows on top of, say, old walls or in your gutter or... you name it, wherever this bird happened to defecate at that moment,
right.
You could get a fig growing. They grow as epiphytes, not actually parasitic in trees, so then they send down their roots. So they could start growing literally anywhere. So your back porch could become a Buddhist shrine.
Yes.
So I'm not 100% sure. And this is, please, I'm sure that everyone is like, how dare you? I'd be willing to bet a couple of these trees are gently moved somewhere else.
Okay.
Maybe not destroyed, but you know, like, I think there might be, and this is strictly conjecture.
Wow, where are you going with this?
I think that, it's a sacred tree, so you shouldn't be able to move it, right? Wherever it is, that is now a sacred spot.
Sure, sure.
But some people are like, ooh, I really do need to park my car here.
Yeah, that's my shed.
It's a sacred spot. So I do have this feeling, just because I know people well enough, that I think the people tree is moved by people sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It could be like a Sri Lankan Bruce Almighty situation.
Yeah.
You wake up one day and suddenly there's Buddhists in your backyard.
You're like, oh shoot, why did that happen? Yeah, I guess every now and then, you know. But I don't know. I can't say that I dislike it. If the world was in the future covered in sacred trees and no one removed them because they all thought the trees were sacred and gave them that honor,
What a wonderful world, as Louis Armstrong said.
Yeah, what a wonderful world.
Until it inconveniences you.
And where you got to park your cart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Casey, we have so much to say.
We sure do.
About this Ficus Religiosa. Maybe, I want to say, top 10 of my favorite Latin names
really
that we've discussed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. And it's easy to remember, and it's descriptive. And we have a lot more to say about it, but we must take a break. We will be right back with the exciting conclusion of Arbitrary Summer Vacation right after this. Hi, everybody. Or should I say, hola a todos. I want you to hear something. It's this. Yes, that is the sound of learning a new language with Babbel. You have, of course, heard of Babbel. You maybe even used Babbel. But if you haven't, Babbel is an app that helps you learn languages. Babbel is a science-backed learning language app that actually works. Let me put it this way. I knew somebody who used a different language app for 365 days and still could not even have basic conversations in the language they were learning on that app. Babbel is not this. They have quick 10-minute lessons, and they're handcrafted by 200 language experts, so you can start learning a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Because it's designed by real people for real conversations. In fact, a recent study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. And of course, the best way to learn a new language is immersion. You go and live in the place where the people speak the language you're learning. You speak to the people, they speak back. But the second best way is Babbel. And it's practical. It will very quickly teach you how to order food, ask for directions, speak to shopkeepers without having to consult language apps while you're on vacation. And here is a special limited time deal for our listeners right now. Get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for Fungal Associates at babbel.com/trees. That's right. If you're listening to this, if you're a fan of this show, babbel.com/trees, get 60% off your subscription. That's babbel.com/trees. Rules and restrictions may apply. Adios. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-bloomin'. Those people are a-walkin' around. That sun is a-shinin'. And it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again. And it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates, sit on a patio and drink a coffee, ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go. It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. Today we are talking ficus religiosa, more specifically because in this month of July, in our summer vacation, we are going to specific specimens of these species.
Yes.
Hey, specimen and species both have the same root.
They do. It's 100% right.
Today, we're not just talking about ficus religiosa. We're talking about the Jaya Sri Mahabodhi. Casey.
Alex.
How did we get here?
Well, you know, we take a lot of ideas and people tell us, hey, I got a great idea. I think you should do it. And many times we think to ourselves, it's a great idea. We're going to do that.
I feel like you're pitching something right now.
I'm about to ask everyone to pay us in 5 easy installments.
Yeah, here comes the MLM. We saw this coming.
No, it's I don't actually remember where this idea came from.
The summer vacation?
Yeah, but it kind of ended up manifesting itself in 2 different ways.
Yes.
One, we were like, God, I do not know a whole lot about trees from Africa.
Hmm.
And specifically the kind of tropical spaces in Africa.
Sure.
And then it was like, well, I mean, Southeast Asia and Borneo, kind of that, the whole tropical space of the world.
Yeah.
There are so many trees, and I have named 2 things where I draw the line. One, tropical trees. People ask me, what's this tropical tree?
And I'm not your specialty. Nope,
I can't do that. I got to stop.
Yeah. Come to him with conifers.
Yes. Or any, not even conifers, because there's so many tropical conifers. The podocarps are a great example.
Pacific Northwest conifers.
Yeah. I want the temperate trees. That's all I need. Yeah. I can only do so much.
You know what? Every expert has their specialty.
Yes, and there are so many experts in the Congo, in sub-Saharan Africa, mm-hmm. in South America, who are experts in their trees.
Yeah.
They are the ones that you need to ask.
So this was sort of a project birthed out of a desire to know more.
Yes, exactly.
And kind of like, sharpen your skills.
Let's go down and find some really cool African trees.
Yeah.
And then we ended up finding the baobabs, and we saw the cotton tree of Freetown. And then you, I think, initially got the idea, and you said, oh, we should look at these really cool trees. And we had like a list of 10 or so of them.
Yeah.
And we ended up narrowing it down to these 4, and this one happens to be one that we found in India, I guess more specifically Sri Lanka.
Yeah, I mean, for the geography impaired among us, can you describe what the Sri Lanka situation is?
Yes, it is just a small little island nation that's off the southeastern coast of India.
Okay, perfect.
India being that subcontinent, which is just a normal continent.
I don't know why.
It's because geologically speaking, Alex, it used to be attached to Africa and Madagascar. So then it actually just like shot up through the Indian Ocean and slammed into what historically was a different landmass entirely.
So at a certain point, it was sort of a subcontinent.
Exactly. It was like this giant Australia-sized island that was just on a beeline straight for Asia, tectonically speaking.
Is that how the Himalayas formed?
Yeah, they're actively getting taller because those plates are colliding.
Currently.
Exactly. Wow. Yes. Like last year, Mount Everest was slightly smaller than it is this year.
Incredible.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow, you know, they keep raising that bar.
They really do. So it gets harder every year. Sorry, everyone.
You know, it gets harder every year.
I was like, actually, literally, tectonically very accurate statement. Well, so
fabulous.
That's exactly where it came from. So, like geologically speaking, they're pretty like different kind of spaces, but they've been smashed together for so long that faunally speaking, they are the fauna of Southeast Asia and India and the Middle East are all kind of, they run together on the spectrum of kind of dry over to very tropical Southeast Asia.
Okay, I got you.
This tree lives right smack dab in the middle, and historically, the ancient tree that gives its most religiousness to this whole thing, the tree that Buddha is said to have sat under, was destroyed. But a branch from the southern side of that tree was cut and planted in Sri Lanka.
Fantastic.
2,400 years ago.
Okay.
Not only that, but it was known precisely. This has been written down, which means the tree that we're talking about is the oldest living planted tree. Because we have an exact date when it was planted,
wow.
or at least an exact year, which was 28 BC.
Okay.
And we can see it today. There's been records of that tree.
Yeah.
Not a single one of those records has said this tree was destroyed, this shrine was destroyed, this city has been destroyed, and the tree's gone with it. That tree has been planted there and growing for 2,400 years because someone's checked in on it every single
wow.
year. In fact, thousands of people, it's a huge religious migration, pilgrimage.
Sure,
kind of
yeah, yeah. For yeah. for Buddhism, well, I want to get more into the religion because yeah. I know you're sort of an expert.
Wow. Alex, not what I expected you to say, following
really,
what I did not expect you to say.
Really,
but I appreciate it.
Really throwing you under the tuk-tuk. Casey, let's imagine, as we do every episode, that you and I are walking among the grounds of this Buddhist shrine.
Yes.
Not temple.
I believe shrine would be the perfect or the better description, yeah.
And we, of course, see this beautiful sacred fig.
It's incredible.
Let's ID this tree.
All right. Well, I do have to say, I don't think we're going to talk specifically about this tree because the pictures that I can see, I don't know how to describe it.
It's kind of like the Kremlin. Like everything is taken from like a weird angle outside
yeah.
the walls.
And so you can't really get a good like full boom of
mm-hmm.
it, you know?
Yeah.
And what you do see, like some of it's kind of fallen apart. I mean, it's 2,400 years old. It's not going to look like a spring chicken anymore.
Sure.
So the most I can say is, well, it's a pretty old looking tree, but let me give you a description of what the species looks like so you can imagine what this tree looked like in its full glory. The glory days, 100 BC. Actually, honestly, I guess glory days might have been like 1000 AD or CE. I guess it's not after death anymore. It's CE, so it's current era. Or BCE, before current era.
Oh, right.
Anyway, apologies.
I'm still hung up on the fact that you reacted almost not at all to my wonderful tuk-tuk joke.
I did. I laughed.
I didn't see you laugh.
Oh, you were looking away. I just giggled a bunch over here. Next time, okay, I'm a podcaster. I should know this by now. You have to move the microphone with you when you laugh.
That was the only like joke I've ever come up with. It was like a joke.
You've never made a single joke before in your entire life.
It was a formulated joke.
I thought it was quite funny, Alex.
Well, thanks.
And I was over here just chuckling to myself.
Sure.
Anyway. It's a great joke.
Until I'm feeling needy today.
No, we all are.
All right, Casey, let's talk about the sacred fig, Ficus religiosa. Let's start with morphology.
Well, this is a tree that's big, Alex.
Okay.
But it's big in a way that it is a grand tree.
Wow.
It's not like the tallest. It's not going to be the widest, but it's got a big, huge, open canopy.
Sure.
And because of it being the kind of strangler fig where it puts down these aerial roots,
yes.
it tends to have these really weird, these strange dimensions where it kind of looks bigger and wider than it is tall, and the branches kind of come out, and they have these kind of weird-looking parts where the little new roots have like grafted right into the stem, so it looks really like sinuous and that kind of thing. Are you seeing kind of what I'm imagining?
Yeah,
you looked up some pictures of just the tree, not necessarily our particular tree.
Sure. It is kind of hard to tell where the tree begins and ends.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a mess.
I like that.
But it's cool. Yeah.
I do like a messy tree that's like,
yeah.
Gee, what is going on here? Like, the whole thing is a question mark.
I feel the same way about Banyan.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Just have kind of like a blurry edge.
Yeah. Right. So now normally we would call these, we would call a strangler fig a banyan, as I made reference to earlier. This, though, we call it a different tree because it has, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 years of history with not the term banyan tree.
Okay.
So we still call it the people tree or the Bodhi tree, things like that.
Or the sacred fig.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, because okay. it is a fig and also has these things. So before we went so far towards the taxonomic naming that we do today,
uh-huh.
where someone said, this is a fig, everything that's related to it is also a fig. this had a completely different name, unrelated to the fig that initially got us to call things figs, which is the Ficus carica, the one that grows over in England, or not England, but in Europe.
Okay.
And, kind of in Italy and Greece, that kind of area.
Okay.
So the tree gets large. It is about maybe 60 to 70 feet large or high. Has maybe about 40, 50. I'd be willing to bet if you get enough time, the wingspan will be just as wide as it is tall.
It's a sprawler for sure.
It's a sprawler.
It sprawls.
Now, one thing, it does not grow its normal aerial roots the way that a banyan does, where a banyan grows out and then just starts dropping roots way out on the end of its limbs.
Mm-hmm.
Our tree, our Bodhi tree, tends to only put aerial roots kind of close in to the main stem. So they don't have these big, long, wide-spreading kind of cantilevered and then supported, then cantilevered, then supported kind of branches.
Okay.
You know, like the ones, the banyans that you've seen in like Hawaii or like some of the big famous ones that are super big and around, their morphology is just a little bit different than our Bodhi tree.
Do we know why? Is that just, I mean, I've learned that it's always, that's just the way it grows.
Yes, but sometimes there are good answers. I don't have a good one for this. Okay. I think it is just the way it grows. It tends not to put out really extremely... I was going to say extemporaneous, but that's not it.
Extant?
Yes. That's not even the term. We're just thinking of EX words, right? Yes. Mm. At the extremities, it does not put out its aerial roots.
Okay.
Very close to the stem.
Interesting.
So it is an epiphyte. It starts growing up in a tree and it'll send down roots. I read something, Alex, that it actually prefers, which I don't think it does. I think someone just said that it prefers to send its roots down inside of cracks and crevices in the tree and actually break apart its host tree.
Oh, wow.
Which I was like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. If there's not a like cavity for it to go into, there's not going to be any nutrients. And two, it's not just going to burrow. It's not just going to, you know, burrow in or bore into another tree.
Yeah.
It just doesn't do that.
Also, trees like to grow the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
And that just seems like, well, why would you do that?
Yeah,
it seems hard.
Exactly. 100%. You'd guess, why would not just grow along the outside where maybe there's a little bit more water running down the bark?
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it does the same thing where it sends its roots down. Once it hits the ground, then it basically just goes into go mode and immediately starts growing up from the very topmost point and then takes over the canopy of the tree.
Wow.
Shades it out while putting all the roots around it, which strangle the tree that it's on, and then it takes over the space that tree used to be in.
So cool.
It's just the coolest thing. Every time I read about it, even though I'm like, man, I know about this, I read it again, I'm like, that is just... It's amazing.
It really,
the tree does that.
It really adds to the sort of mystique of the tree.
Yeah, it kind of does.
The sort of mythological nature of it.
Though, Alex, it does it in a weird way.
Hmm.
Because like Hindus and Buddhists are not like known to be like, we are going to go take you down and then take over your this space. And I know that there's, you know, religions and socioeconomics. So I don't mean to paint with a broad brush, but like... I don't think I've ever heard of like a Hindu or a Buddhist crusade or something
it's,
like that.
Among the religions, it's very live and let live.
Yeah, I think so.
Almost by nature, I think.
So.
From what I know.
I think you're pretty right.
I mean, especially compared to Christianity.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's what it does. It has a, you know, kind of grayish brown, very smooth bark, ironically, probably smooth so that it doesn't get epiphytes on it.
What a hypocrite.
Wow, what a hypocrite. But it's got oppositely arranged leaves. And the leaves, Alex, I think are the thing that most people are familiar with or think about with the Bodhi tree.
They're great.
Because they have like this really long, almost rat tail,
yes,
like bit to them.
Yeah.
And I just think it's the coolest thing. Like it makes them very obvious. Big heart-shaped leaves, maybe about 4-6 inches long. And with that tip, it probably adds an inch or two, depending on the size of the leaf.
Strange little quirk. That little tip.
It is, yeah. And you know what I read recently is that most trees, so a lot of people, have you heard of drip tips on different leaves?
No, I haven't heard this.
Well, it's essentially this,
okay,
where leaves in very wet and rainy spaces tend to have very pointed, acuminate kind of tips.
Okay.
And so that would be that it would help facilitate water hitting the leaf and then going off of the leaf. And I heard that it does that so that A, it can reduce the amount of essentially wax that's on the top on the cuticle of the leaf. Once it hits there, it'll take a little bit of wax with it. But if it sits there on top, then it could allow some amount of fungus or some kind of bacteria, different organisms to kind of start living on that leaf and either get rid of the kind of cover up the photosyntheticness that it needs, just essentially shading out the leaf by growing on top of the leaf.
That was my guess. Yeah.
Yeah. But then also apparently just may just cause the leaf to decay a little bit because the wax gets removed ever so slowly.
Okay.
Yeah. So pretty places cool. I've always known about the drip tip, and everyone's like, yeah, so that water rushes off the leaf. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure water just already does that. I don't know if I believe it, but I also was like, but it happens in so many different plants. It's got to be, it's got to have a point, because there are even some trees that don't do that at all, that don't have a drip tip.
Yeah.
Don't even have tips, really.
I mean, is this what you're saying, that there's a correlation between drip tips and like seasonal rainfall or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. I had just never heard until recently. I was reading, it's a book I'm reading right now called Other Lands.
Mm.
And they talked about it in there, and I was like, that is the only time I've ever read anything that has even tried to explain the drip tip in a functional way.
Interesting.
Other than saying it's to get rid of water. And I'm like, well, great. But why? Leaves aren't like sponges, you know, water just runs off of them.
You can't like suffocate a leaf or drown it.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, it's a good reason, but I want the next reason.
Right.
Why does it need to get rid of that? And why has it specialized in getting rid of water off the top of it?
Interesting.
Yeah, so that was the only thing. Everything else, they just said it happened, but I needed that one step further.
Ever the journalist.
Yes, it's my job.
Yeah. So the leaves, oh, I almost just said catalpa, because I was going to say the leaves are very catalpa-esque.
They really are. Yeah.
Big plush chordate leaves.
And you know what?
I'm a fan.
They come out when they're very young in the springtime, this deep reddish pink color.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. So they're just like, and then the whole thing turns green, and then they grow, and then you're going to be so upset. They're drought deciduous.
Oh, no.
I know you don't like that, but I'm sorry.
Not a fan.
Every single tree we've covered this month has been drought deciduous.
That's true. What the heck's going on?
You'll hear it right now, everyone. Complete accident. I did not plan that. We did not plan that.
No,
I didn't even know it about some of those trees.
We don't have the foresight to plan this ruse.
No, literally, I came to Alex yesterday and I was like, let's do this one.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. That's not true,
Casey.
Some
foresight.
They are quite beautiful all year round. And being the drought deciduous, of course, that means that they will drop their leaves during the dry seasonal, non-monsoonal times in these tropical spaces.
Got it. Casey, does this fig grow a fig?
I'm glad you asked.
Maybe we should talk about the flower first.
The answer is yes. Okay. Well, see, they have these flowers, but of course, as you know, they have false fruit. The fruit that is the not even realness of the whole thing. Because their fruit grows in the lovely fancy way that we all just call a fig. But a fig is actually the receptacle, which is the base of a flower that holds it on to the stem, essentially. The peduncle.
Oh, right.
The receptacle essentially is inverted, so the flowers are all on the inside.
Oh, that's right.
And then it's fertilized by wasps.
That happens here too?
Every single fig has its own individual fig wasp.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I don't ever quite forget about it. It's another thing like the banyan.
You're up at night thinking about this.
Yeah, and I just am like, you know what? This thing's pretty cool. And you know what? Every single time, it is just that cool.
Yeah.
So the figs go inside. Again, I'm sorry to ruin everybody's day, but this happens with all the figs you've ever eaten. I heard a story when I told this to somebody a couple months ago at a tree ID workshop I was doing. And her mind was like, oh my God, that happened to me once, where she opened up a fig and there was a bunch of little wasps inside. Oh, yes.
Jeez.
Metal as fuck.
How unpleasant. You think you're about to crack into a nice juicy fruit?
Yeah.
Get a little extra juiciness.
A little extra protein in there.
I don't want it.
So here's how it works, in case you forgot. You have a fig wasp, a female, flies in to a fig through a little teeny tiny opening in the base, goes in, and it lays an egg into each of the individual flowers that are actually there.
Despicable.
They're little flower buds. So the fig wasp starts to develop. It doesn't go into all of them, and it essentially, as it's laying this, fertilizes the plant because it has actually come from a different fig. So it goes in, wanders around, gets pollen all over it, flies into another fig, either on the same tree, but most likely on a different tree because they want to cross-pollinate, goes to that other tree, climbs in, lays its eggs, in doing so, fertilizes them. If it does not fertilize enough of the individual flowers inside, that fig will abort itself, and then all of the wasps inside will also die. So, evolutionarily speaking, that is a quid pro quo. If I don't get what I need, your entire brood dies.
Damn.
So thou shalt fertilize as many as possible.
This is a really toxic relationship.
Oh, it totally is. It absolutely is. But they are stuck with each other.
Yeah, holy shit.
So that individual female will then end up perishing a little later on. All the little ones inside will start to develop, and the males will come out first. They have zero wings. They will end up fertilizing the females that are still in utero, if you will, and then will bore a hole and then go on their merry way and probably die sometime soon.
The hell?
Once the females that have now been fertilized by the male wasp, once they pop out, the flowers start to bloom, then the whole process starts again. All those females leave.
And the fig dies, the fig rots and goes away?
No. Now the fig is able to be eaten. So now as soon as it gets fertilized that very first time, then it starts to grow into this tiny little cherry-sized little fig that's eaten mostly by birds and some other animals that roam around these beautiful tropical forests.
Can I clarify something?
You may.
I love figs.
Yeah.
I've eaten plenty. Mm-hmm. Are you mm-hmm. telling me that at one point every fig I've ever eaten has had wasps in it?
I am pretty positive that's 100% the case.
And then they leave, yes. And then the farmer comes by and says, "Oh, this looks nice," and picks it.
I might even skip over and they leave. I think sometimes they do, sometimes they might get picked a little early. But here's my caveat. I am not sure if the fig that you and I would normally be eating, which is the common fig, Ficus carica,
yeah,
the fig leaf that everyone knows about, the one that you grow in your yard, blah, blah, blah. That one, because
Or in your home.
Well, no. So the fig that we grow in our home, those are tropical figs. The one that you're eating that you buy at the store,
uh-huh.
that is one that's actually a temperate fig that grows down in like Italy and Greece. It's growing here in Portland.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Well, here's my question. Here's why I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure if we have bred it to the point where it just will produce fruit. So I don't know if those fruit are actually fertilized.
Okay.
So I only don't know because we haven't really done the research into it. I'm not a big fig fan, so I haven't like...
Really?
Yeah, the fruit doesn't really do it for me. The textures are just okay.
Hmm.
But because of that, I haven't actually done the research to see if it is... if they've kind of figured out a way to make them kind of seedless and get them to just produce the fruit no matter what, if they're fertilized or not.
It does seem like something that food scientists would prioritize.
Yeah, I mean, we have bananas that are, you know, have zero seeds in them, right? So like someone might have, I'm sure they thought about this.
For sure.
Not to mention the individual wasp that would be the fertilizing agent. I don't know if it's come over, you know? So if you plant a fig, you must also bring over the fig wasp to get it to grow the figs.
Wow.
Or else it will abort it. So I'm not sure if perhaps we figured out a way that the plant just no longer aborts the figs and it just makes them anyway.
Sure.
I don't know.
Wow. Oh my God. What a wild web.
A wild wasp web.
What a wild wasp web.
That we weave.
That we weave warily. All right, Casey.
All right, yeah, we can't go any further with that. So that's kind of the big hits on this tree.
Those are the parts.
Yeah, and they're really, you know, they're beautiful little plants. I think they're just like the essence of tropical. Whenever you go down, like you and I were down visiting Tobin Mitnick and everyone in Los Angeles a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And we saw so many fig trees.
It's true.
And they just scream like tropical wonderland. Like, I don't know why. It's just,
they're very powerful looking. I've always thought.
They really are.
I'm just like, that's a stately tree.
Well, and Alex, speaking of powerful.
Oh my gosh.
Apparently, if you sit in the shade of this tree, you might be a little bit closer to enlightenment.
Is that because Buddha himself sat beneath one of these trees?
That is exactly right.
Did I step on your toes there?
Not at all. No way. Hey, peace be with you, baby.
All right.
No, this is the tree that probably, I think it might be one of the only trees that really, truly earns the specific epithet religiosa.
Wow.
Every other tree that exists may have some amount of kind of religious meaning, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with the trees that are growing in and around peoples who have more animism kind of relationships with their kind of their ecosystem.
Sure.
The first things are Native American beliefs where everything has a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a similar thing. So every tree is as important as this one species is to, you know, all these other religions.
Sure.
Shinto in Japan, most likely 1,000 other religions that we just don't know that much about. This, though, is a tree that is like, it's so revered that it's almost never cut down. It's so revered, if it's growing somewhere, it's kept there forever. People do these meditations where they walk around it. I believe it's a Hindu meditation where you walk around the tree a certain amount of times, and each one is meant to be kind of a not a revolution in time or anything like that, but it's like each time you go around the tree is one iteration of this kind of pacing is what it is.
Pacing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, as in walking.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Okay. Like you're walking around.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They call it a pace, and I can't remember the exact term for it, but what it is essentially a meditation. So each time you go around, you've done one meditation. You do it again, and then you do it again. So the people tree is essentially kind of representative of the heaven, the earth, and the underworld, kind of all put together. So the tree is, in its literal essence, a tree of life.
And that is canopy, trunk, and roots, respectively?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So so the thing with Hindu is that it is a religion that isn't one single kind of religion. Like, there's one God. There are many different traditions that have kind of all been pulled together. And this is a religion that's well over 3,000 or 4,000 years old. So it's essentially, as people moved around, they basically got in touch and interacted with these other people. So as the Indo-Aryans came over into what is now India from like Afghanistan and Pakistan, then they ran into these other local people that had these other local traditions. Those local traditions all kind of got collated together. So there is one kind of individual God, which is Brahman, but that individual God is also able to be reached through all these other deities and spiritual symbols and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's a kind of this mixture of monotheism and pantheism.
Interesting.
So there's more than one way to get to a single God through other smaller deities. It's very curious. Now, in contrast, Buddhism is all based on what ultimately, and I learned some scholars believe Buddhism can't quite be considered a religion in a let's be really pedantic about this kind of sense.
Interesting.
Because there is no God in Buddhism. The Buddha is a man. So he reached enlightenment. I believe he's actually a kind of a royal, gave up his royal life and started walking around. So they had these ascetics. And I mean like the in the religious sense, not aesthetic, but ascetic. So, or acidic, I think also is what it is, but not as in, oh, that's the opposite of alkaline. So we do really need to write a lot of this down for today.
An alkaline as in the opposite of acidic, not as in Alkaline Trio, the early 2000 pop punk band.
Yes, exactly. Which, yeah, maybe they were just in a response to the acid trio. Nobody knows.
And band as in a group of musical performers, not the wedding ring.
Exactly. You, Alex, right. If it wasn't for you, we'd be so lost right now.
And ring as in...
All right, we're going to take a break here. Alex is Alex is broken through too many responses. Make sure everything's so clear.
Alex is scratching formulas on his wall.
Do you know, like, on like National Public Radio, whenever someone says anything and the announcer has to come in, or the interviewer has to come in just to clarify something really
sure,
fast?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I always love that. And in Parks and Rec, they like parodied that so well.
Oh, you ever yes. see that? With what was his name? Something St. Clair. Yeah,
I it was know just her. It was so good because she would say something so very obvious, and he would always jump in. So you mean the police department of Shawnee? Yes, the Shawnee Police Department.
anyway, what a show!
So he essentially said, "Hey, I'm giving up this privileged life, and I'm going to go walk around." And these religions are all about kind of this self-meditation and trying to get yourself out of this cycle of reincarnation. And they have different terms for it.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, the beliefs are that you are constantly being reincarnated. Your soul
yes.
is moving in and out of different corporeal entities.
And these are living things, I understand?
Specifically, yes.
Okay. And this is called samsara.
Yes. And then there is an equivalent in both of these religions.
Oh, what's the equivalent in Hinduism?
I just know it as reincarnation, but I bet you there's a term that is not so Englishinated.
Sure. I think reincarnation is like a broad term.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So life after death.
Exactly. Yes. So the idea is that once you reach a certain level, you kind of take yourself out of mm-hmm. this. So the Buddha reached this level. We know it commonly as nirvana mm-hmm. Or reaching enlightenment.
Sure.
And you reach this enlightenment, and now your soul is kind of taken out of this whole realm of coming and going and these big cycles in life.
The rat race, as they call it.
They do call it the rat race. Yeah, it's actually perfect translation. It's in the Wikipedia page and everything. Get your soul out of the rat race. Join Buddha.
Become enlightened today.
For only two payments of $6.99.
No, that's Scientology.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. But so it is kind of an interesting thing that I found a curious kind of parallel, because one, in Hindu, there's a lot of priests and there's a lot of different traditions and you have to follow these things and there's kind of dogma and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Buddha basically went out and sat underneath this tree, mm-hmm. the peepal tree, which again was already a tree that was spiritually related to Hindu, and he was a Hindu ascetic. Then he came back and he found enlightenment underneath this tree and started preaching the Eightfold Path and the Four Truths and all these
yes.
These different ideas of what is now something we consider Buddhism. But there is no Buddha as a god. He's a person. He lived and he died, but when he died, his soul never came back. So now he has reached this kind of next level of nirvana. Oh,
see.
So it's a little bit like Christianity, except if Christ just said, go talk to your God. Oh, I'm not your God.
Right.
I'm just a dude who ended up doing it right. Follow my ideas, though, and Christianity would be this philosophical idea.
Mm-hmm.
Buddhism is kind of like that. You could skip over all of the priesthoods and all this stuff from the other side of this kind of coin, and he split off, and then people started following him. But it's mostly this idea of how to live today so that you can reach this next level. Not even tomorrow. It's at the, you know, at the end of your time, but time is kind of this long distance thing. Some of the people in these religions have lived literally millions of years ago, you know?
Yeah. You know, I hope this isn't inflammatory. We'll see.
Uh-oh.
I've always thought, well, no, it's just my opinion, so it's not inflammatory. Well...
Oh, see, it's then the next thing that you say that everyone's like, your opinion is inflammatory, Alex.
I've always thought, you know, I grew up in a Christian household.
Yeah.
But it was never for me, you know, it never like clicked for me.
Yeah.
So I took a break from religion mm-hmm. in my 20s. And now that I'm, you know, my mid-30s.
Yeah, now you're in your mid to late 20s. Oh, my God.
Yeah, really late 20s. I've sort of come around to, like, you know, I still don't like churches, you know, like establishments.
Sure, yeah.
But I do like the idea, of course, of believing in some sort of higher power.
I see.
And Buddhism is the one that I'm like, oh yeah, sign me up. Like, well, I'm so on board. I just don't know where to start. You know, I think you just start reading materials. Like,
you do, yeah. As far as I know,
yeah.
And but then again, I'm someone who doesn't have a whole lot of religious experience in terms of practicing.
Sure.
So I don't even know where to start either. But I can give you some books that'll be pretty, pretty flat about it.
I mean, I wonder if Buddha himself would be like, no, fuck the books, just go meditate.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think he would say, here's how you meditate. Here's what to focus on.
So cool.
But see, Alex, I think you're actually doing this more often than not, because you've been doing a lot of like Tai Chi. So you're...
Qigong,
excuse me.
Yes.
So you're working quite a bit more on your kind of spiritualness. So this is really something I was curious about your opinion on, because you are putting it into practice more than I ever have, certainly.
Oh, a touch.
Yeah, but it's just that kind of meditation to kind of get in touch with yourself, not necessarily this other... entity out there, you know?
I mean like my take on it is that it kind of makes you the god, I guess.
Yes, yeah,
exactly. You are the deity of your own religion.
Yes.
And meditation is all about mindfulness and being present in the here and now.
Yeah.
And that brings you closer to God, which is, you know,
yourself. Yeah. Now, so this is the thing that they kind of touch on in these two religions, and I'm bringing them together, one, because it's just too much to really get into both of them.
Sure.
And how much this tree specifically is important to both of them.
This is an other related topic that is like a huge sphere of the world.
It's huge.
That we're not going to, you know.
Yeah, and sadly, I have been more curious about Christianity things just because of the same thing. I was raised in a Christian household.
Yeah.
So then whenever these books would come in and I would find them, I'd be like, oh, I'm curious what that is. And I'd read all these intense texts about Islam and Christianity and like the history of Rome and all these other things.
Yeah.
So it again is, you know, that's a limitation on kind of my ability to read all these intense things. And my God, doing the research for this, I was like, they have a name for everything in
here.
We talked about it a little bit before this. So this is an editorial decision that we're making. So please, again, we're sorry to be inflammatory, but forgive us.
Our lawyers want us to read something.
Well, so one thing that I think is curious is that I think that the meditation that Buddha has kind of done, like him sitting and thinking with himself underneath this tree, that this tree already for him had this spiritual... the spiritual aura around it.
Right. It was not chosen by accident.
Yes. It was 100% on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you are looking at Christianity and someone says, well, go pray to God and ask this question. I'm sorry. This might come as a surprise to some people that this is my opinion. And I'm saying opinion because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I think when you're praying, you're just doing the same thing. It's just your own meditation.
Sure.
You're coming up with your own answers and then attributing it to somebody else.
Hey, man.
I think Buddha might be a bit more empowering because Buddha, as you said, is kind of saying, follow your journey and see where it needs to take you.
Yeah.
Don't be too self-indulgent, but also don't give in to too much. Like, there's a balance there. And it's just this way to basically say, hey, here's how to live your life. And people saw such inspiration in it, and they said, what did you do? And he's like, I sat underneath that tree. And everyone's like, that tree? Wow.
Right.
And then it became this thing. So like the tree has almost taken on this godliness as well, because it's already a tree that's been spiritual. So now the tree is of the Buddha in the same way that the Buddha sat underneath this tree that was already a religious thing to the Buddha. So it's kind of this weird way that the tree is almost similar, I think, to Shinto in Japan, where there's a spirit.
Which I don't know much about, by the way. I know that there's everything has a spirit. Is that the big thing in Shinto?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And you can piss off some of the spirits. And
oh, yes.
So you would go and honor and put a little shrine or an offering at the base of a tree to basically say, hey, I'm on your side. Just asking for help. I think you're great. And then the tree, i.e. the spirit, would kind of be behind you and help you through your way.
Okay. Well, I have seen Spirited Away, and I believe the religion in that, or like the message in that is framed in a Shinto belief. Have you seen that film?
I don't think I have. No. Okay. I wasn't sure if you had actually misspoken when you said that.
No, I understand what you're saying. It is a film by Hayao Miyazaki of Studio Ghibli fame.
Gotcha. I'm not familiar with either of those.
Oh, wow, Casey.
I am, as you know, behind.
Have you heard My Neighbor Totoro?
Yes, I have.
Okay, that's same studio, same animator, writer, director.
Yeah.
And it's about a little girl who goes to work in a bathhouse for spirits.
Oh, wow.
It's great.
Huh.
Great movie.
All right, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I think that this is a similar thing. And so, I don't know, Alex, I just, I want your opinion before we close and kind of, what do you think about the idea of a tree becoming a god in a literal sense? But I have to say, I don't like to throw shade on any religion. Everyone kind of does their own thing. Mm-hmm. That's great. Don't force on other people and be cool and be accepting. But I have to say, if I had to put things in a ranked order, I would probably say that Buddha, or rather the people tree specifically, the Bodhi tree, it's probably the tree that has become a god better than all the rest.
I'm fidgeting anxiously because I'm like, we're about to rank the religions. Oh, God.
Yeah, today we're actually going to give golden chalices of honor.
Dude, Buddha is S tier. I will say that. Yeah, man. I also, part of me thinks this intuition that, like, if Buddha came back and saw what we've done with this tree, he'd be like, oh, you guys,
you missed the point.
Yeah. Like, it didn't matter. The tree didn't matter. It was about the thing that I did under the tree, you know.
Curious.
I of course, this is this is my opinion, just a thought exercise, conjecture, blah, 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 blah. I don't think this is how it works. It's my opinion. This is my opinion.
Okay, yeah. I know we're being like, now just to be clear, the name of this episode is our opinion.
This is our opinion.
I don't think we're saying anything too inflammatory.
I don't think so, but you know, frank. It's a touchy subject, Casey.
It is, yeah. And there's you know, we don't want to end up on the wrong side and trying to be respectful as much as we can while also having hot takes left and right. Baby.
Yeah, you gotta have hot takes.
With all due respect, okay, the tree didn't even matter.
Buddha was way sexier than Jesus. Prove me I'm wrong.
Prove me I'm wrong. You have to pick a side.
No, I think like the tree, like I'm not big into maybe like symbology or nostalgia or assigning emotional value to objects.
Uh-huh.
I've never been that way. I have a very small little portion of my apartment over here that's about 2 inches by 7 inches of a few key items that mean something to me.
Mm-hmm.
But even those, if I lost them in a fire, I'd be like, well, those aren't the people that I associate with them. They're just pieces of plastic.
They're
or
just an object.
Cloth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I may be the wrong person to ask about this, but I don't know. I think it's a nice idea that this tree is so holy, but as soon as somebody, like a group of people, assigns that weight of value to something, I'm like, whoa, hold on, slow down.
Uh-huh.
It just, it kind of like, it makes me itchy. I'm like, don't.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I feel that way. I'm just
it's very curious.
It feels very human made.
Yeah.
Very artificial.
Interesting.
And I wonder if the people, you know, who started the whole thing, i.e. Buddha, would like roll his eyes and be like, you guys don't even know what you're doing here.
Yeah, that would be very curious. I happen to think, so I'm of two minds on that, Alex, if you're curious. Because like the people like the Romans, for instance, they were very superstitious. And I think most people prior to like the 1400s and most people today are still very superstitious in that regard.
Yeah, the Enlightenment is what you're referring
to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Enlightenment, I think, is a bit of a derogatory term, basically saying, yeah, you two are so dumb. Like, it's science, okay? Focus on that. So that's just my hot take again.
Sure.
But I do think that the superstitions were real. Like, I think we look at them now and we say, oh, that was superstition. But just like we're saying, oh, witches, you were just superstitious. Get a hold of yourself, you know?
Mm.
But in the days of Romans, like, thousands of people would die or not die on a day because they would say, ah, the entrails do not say in this sacrificial goat that we should go to war.
Yeah.
Or they do say you should go to war. And then I it would see. Be a horrible blunder. So it's like that level of belief has to rise above superstition. It was just known that that's the way it was.
They have meaning because we assign them meaning.
Yeah.
Anything has meaning if you give it meaning.
Exactly. And their meaning was not just, you know, casual. All right, I'm going to, someone gave this tree to me, so I'm going to add this meaning to it. It was that tree had this intense religious and like thousands of years old religious thing.
Yeah.
And then Buddha came and did this other thing underneath it. And everyone's like, oh my God. And they look up at the tree and they're like, that tree did it. That wasn't Buddha. Buddha just happened to be the guy that sat underneath it.
Oh, right. Because you're saying, maybe I missed this part, but that the sacred fig or the ficus religiosa was important religiously pre-Buddha.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Hinduism.
Exactly. Okay. Which Hinduism, for those of you, if I didn't say it clearly, has predated Buddhism of, like I said, it was more of a conglomeration, amalgamation of many different spiritual beliefs and like all sure. kind of came together.
Maybe like Hinduism is to Buddhism as Judaism is to Christianity?
Exactly. Okay. Yes. So it happened kind of slowly over time, but officially 500 BC is when Buddhism really is like, that's its genesis moment.
Gotcha.
Versus Hinduism, they was at least understood and described as such for at least 1,000 years before that.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I don't know. This whenever I have been doing the research on this tree and like going through, and I have had a couple iterations just trying to make sure I can read things, and that's when I was like, Alex, we're going to have to truncate some of this. There's so much here.
I think we did pretty good.
I think we did.
For a couple of non-scholars.
Yeah, exactly. Just, a couple opinionated people sitting here talking about a tree. Of all the trees that we cover, and the Tule tree. One of the books that I've read about it talks about it being the Trinity because they're like, yeah, this is actually, we think three different stems that have all come together in one.
The Montezuma Cypress.
Yeah. So that I'm in that he's like, yeah, well, if Christians believe that this one kind of person or this entity can be three different things at once, why can't this tree?
Sure.
So it's like that has this really intense religious thing to it. The tree of life. Having everyone in Africa understand and know that this tree was thrown upside down by the gods because it was either a little too smug or its animal, the hyena, was a little too smug. And so they punished it like that. Like, there are all these trees with these big kind of spiritual beliefs, which, of course, you know, there's huge, huge trees and ramifications with these peoples and how they've moved and how they give these symbols. But of all of them,
yeah,
they represent something. I think that this might be the only tree that is not a representation, but the thing itself.
A manifestation.
Exactly, Alex.
Wow, Case.
Anyway, that's my quick thought. You know, I've heard about this Reddit. It's called Shower Thoughts.
Sure.
And I think they really mean high in the shower thoughts.
Yeah.
I think this might be, not that I was, but a high in the shower thought.
That's a little more elevated than most shower thoughts subreddit.
Okay, I'm happy about that. Because I've just been thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know. This is the only way to really explain.
Yeah.
Because all the other trees, they kind of end up getting cut down at some point. Or
this
they end
is
up
interesting.
Dying or something. This tree, it's like prohibited.
Yeah, almost. This is really interesting, Casey.
I don't know. This is just my hot take. Again, I was not high in the shower thinking of this. Our podcast does not boil down to that. Thank you. It's just a nice way for me to describe it.
Hey, we're looking for a theme for December, right?
All right, Casey, do this and then tell us what you think of afterwards.
Marijuana, talk about some trees.
Oh, God.
That's a little clunky.
What was it? Isn't it? What is there? There's a Reddit. It's marijuana enthusiasts.
Right.
Is the tree Reddit. And
yeah.
Tree enthusiasts is the marijuana.
Or trees is the weed Reddit.
When I learned about that like 10 years ago, I was just like, every now and then the internet just does something so divine that everyone just gets on board and there's no naysayers being like, we got to switch these. Okay. Anyway, sorry. A little off topic.
Casey, we got to give this ficus religiosa. We got to boil it down as we do. I hate to do it sometimes, you know, and give it a cone score, but we got to do so after a break.
We sure do.
We'll be right back with the exciting conclusion to a completely arbitrary summer vacation. Alex here. Here's a little something about me. I love to be cozy. Coziness is of utmost importance to me, and I am in a constant search for coziness. And that is why we present to you Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth makes luxurious bedding and clothing products. And what do I mean by luxurious? Let me tell you this. I now have Cozy Earth sheets on my bed. I wear a full Cozy Earth sweatsuit to bed. And I have been getting the best sleep of my life. It is quite literally the softest material I've ever put on my body, and my skin is so happy in it. I usually have a little bit of a sensory thing. I don't like things touching my skin. Clothes are tough. But with Cozy Earth, I am treated to superior softness, unparalleled fabric, materials, and weave. This is a real endorsement. It's the most comfortable material to ever grace my birthday suit. And guess what? You deserve this coziness too. So treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. And you know what? Completely arbitrary listeners, a little inside detail here. You all get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES, that's T-R-E-E-S, for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Now you go and get cozy.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. That was our discussion of the sacred fig, Ficus religiosa. Casey.
Alex Croson. I have something to admit.
Wow.
You said before this that sometimes you hate to do it. I love to boil it down. Yeah. I do. There's a part of me that felt a little nervous about it when we like first started doing intense mm-hmm. trees. And then afterwards I'd be like, also. And now I've just steered into it. I do enjoy it.
It is the fun of it. I think I have a little existential moment where I'm like, we're talking about all these heady, you know, big themes and important things. And then we end up just like 5.7.
I think the juxtaposition is what makes it work.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Like a serious episode on Scrubs, you know, where there's like something yeah. real happens. Yeah. The only reason that you have so much passion is that you're like, oh my God, this never happens.
Right.
We just happen to do it once a week.
Yeah. I think, I don't want to pull back the curtain too far, but I think that is the reason our show works because it's about important things presented in a very silly way.
Ideally, yeah.
Which we had, when we were formulating this idea for this podcast, we had never seen a nature podcast like that.
Yeah, still haven't.
Yeah.
So
we're
anyway.
One of a, hey, it's completely arbitrary. Yeah. One of a kind.
Right?
We got to give a rating to this tree. Here's how it works. Give some final thoughts on this Ficus religiosa and then give it heavenly, I'll say divine.
Yeah, I was
going to say. Golden cones of honor.
I don't know if there's a heaven. There's an absolute soul.
An absolutely soulful 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Casey, as our resident Buddhist.
All right.
We begin with you.
Man, that is what's going to get Buddha if he comes back. He'd be like, no, dude, you're way off. Oh, all right. So with our lovely little tree here, our Ficus religiosa.
Oh boy,
I think it's a great tree.
Sometimes I can tell that you don't know what you're going to say.
I don't. Yeah. Yeah. And what do you do? Do you think I do right now?
No.
I really don't have. I don't know what I'm going to say. So sometimes, doing the research, I really come up with something. But
sure.
This research was focused actually more heavily on religions than doing other things.
Yeah.
I really am super unfamiliar with this, so I'm like, I got to learn a little bit about how these function and where this tree, the role that this tree plays in it.
For sure. It took a lot of your focus.
Yeah. And so, but it also, like, it adds a lot to the tree in terms of this, like, this background kind of, I don't know, just this je ne sais quoi about the tree.
May I suggest a term?
Please.
Mystique.
Yes, there it is. That's a perfect term.
Thank you.
So like it helps to shade whatever I'm feeling.
Sure.
Yet sometimes I want to be like, no. Just focus on the tree, Casey. Mm. This is your part to be arboriculturally accurate.
Right.
But also, I do that so often. Sometimes it's nice just to be like, I just really don't care.
Papa's taking his tie off.
Yeah. Now, so what I do love about this tree is the fact that the tree itself grows almost anywhere.
Mm.
Like, I love the stranglerness of these kinds of figs.
Yeah.
Because the fact that they grow on and over and take over the shrines that are built around them because they send their roots on them, or they just started growing on top of it and sent their roots down around it. Like, how many times have you seen like these really cool pictures of like a Buddhist or a Hindu temple that's just covered
because
the forest ate it up because all these banyans on ficus all around like took over?
It's quite symbolic.
I love that.
It's pretty cool.
And I have to say, I think that the religious leaders would also love this, that have gone past and reached nirvana because they're like, this is the sacred fig taking over the sacred space. That's it. Yeah, that's the whole thing. So I love that a tree does that. I also love that it is a tree that has these really beautiful, like gorgeous leaves, and that is grown and planted all over the world. We also didn't even talk about the fact that it's like every part of it's medicinal in some regard.
Oh, yeah.
Except the figs. Apparently the figs are, quote, a starvation fruit. So they're just not very tasty. So people are like, you eat them when you really are low on food.
Oh, as opposed to, cassicara or ficus?
Bengalensis or, oh no, carica. You're
carica,
thinking,
yeah.
Carica. Carica is a very specific, this is a delectable thing, we're going to eat it.
Fruit to eat.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So I think it's great, although I am a little bit concerned with a bully. I think this tree's a little bit of a bully.
Sure.
And I don't mean it being the religious tree that it is. I mean it just that strangler figs are a bit of bullies. And I honestly see them taking over the world.
Or as I like to call it, the strangularity.
Oh, God. We got to do a third fig so you can use the strangularity on this. Although, maybe that'll be a good... okay. So I think I'm going to give this... I don't know. I think I'm going to go 7.9.
All right.
I've been given a lot of high scores lately.
That's pretty good.
These trees, God dang it, they're worth high scores.
These trees have been very cool this
month. They're just really cool. All except we're going to have an asterisk on the Montezuma cypress. It may or may not actually be a tree. I get it. Don't want to hear it.
Oh, I don't want to hear that either. It is.
It may not be.
I'm over that argument. Shutting it down.
So I think 7.9, because okay. I think this tree, like, I can't really get over the idea that, and this is, again, my interpretation. We could probably talk to a scholar and they'd be like, you're pretty off base there, buddy. But I do like the idea that the tree is the thing itself. It's not just the symbol of the thing. Like you said, it's the manifestation, not the representation. I do like that. I like that a lot. Like, I like that a lot. Like, I want to start looking at trees and being like, okay, maybe if I understand the rest of all these trees like this, it might help me understand how other peoples at other times saw their trees. Like we were talking about Native Americans and different tribes from all over the world that had these other relationships with the trees. They weren't representations. They were manifestations.
They were quite literally the thing.
Love this.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Right. 7.9 Golden Cones of Honor.
That's what I got, Alex.
From Casey Clapp. Case, I think this... You know, I think all banyans are pretty cool. I think they're, I agree with you about them being bullies, but I also kind of just see it as like, they're really good at what they do, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And they do it till they fucking drop.
Right.
And sometimes they accidentally do it to themselves. in terms of Buddhism, I give Buddhism 10 out of 10. It's a really great religion.
Yeah.
Big time on board.
Big time on board. I'm all about religions. In fact, this is, I basically invented this religion.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that I'm the reincarnation of Buddha. However.
Yeah, he can't. He
can't
he's
be.
Out of
he's
cycle.
Out of the rat
yeah.
race.
Yeah, he's gone.
No one has a shot. I love what the sort of idea that you came to and then I helped put it on a shelf, which was the manifestation, not representation.
Yeah.
This tree is not just a symbol. it's not just a, it's not like a painting of a fictional character. Mm-hmm. It's like the fictional character come to life that you can like talk to and interact with.
Yeah.
It's not an illustration. It is like a human, right?
Yeah.
And the, you know, usually a fruit tree, if it doesn't grow a fruit that I can eat, I'm like, nah, get out of here.
Yeah.
But I think this one gets a pass. Ooh, I'm feeling like a 7.5 case.
7.5. I think that's very fair.
That
is a very fair.
That feels
one.
Like a good kind of up the belly of the middle, the top middle of the bell curve there.
Exactly. Yeah. And I should add one big caveat. Mm. I'm pretty positive it might be like invasive in like Florida, but I'm not sure.
Oh, well.
So, yeah. So I can imagine. Like I said, it's going to take over the world.
They can have it.
They can have
it. Casey, that was our review and our discussion of the sacred fig, Ficus religiosa.
Mm-hmm.
It is time for our completely arbitrary Q&A, our last of the season here, Case.
And you kind of spoiled this one, Alex. It's from our Patreon, as of course everyone knows, but you
That's
did
right.
note that this is a Patreon question and answer session where one of the questions was very apt.
Yes, Casey. I posted this post asking for questions, and this was the very first question that came in. And I feel a little bit of a serendipitous moment there.
It all works out. Hey, remember, guys, if you want to ask any questions to us, sign up at our Patreon, patreon.com/arbitrarypod, at the $3 Quercus and Alder level, and you can ask questions. We do, we're going to move it up till actually, I think about monthly, we're going to be doing Q&As because we've actually had people sign up and then be like, how do I do this? How do I ask a question?
Right.
And we're like, oh, well, we just had one of those a while back. But then we're like, well, we need another. So
yeah.
We're going to try and standardize that a little bit more. So if you have them banked, this is your time.
I will say, yeah, that's a really good point, Case. And I think we're trying to sort of get on a schedule a little more than we are
with the
Patreon. This one comes from ASIBS121.
Oh, right. 121, baby.
If that is your real name. ASIBS121 asks, if you could be reincarnated as any type of tree, what would you pick at this very moment?
This very moment. That is so helpful. A lot of people ask me, Alex, what's your favorite tree? And I'm like, well, right now.
Right.
So that's good.
I do that with movies.
Ah, okay.
What's your favorite movie? Well, right now I'm really into this movie. I've watched it 17 times in the last month.
That's how I'm going to do it again next
month. That's how I consume media.
Ooh, okay.
So Casey, what do you think? If you... heaven forbid, I should say.
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Pass on.
Mm-hmm.
What tree, which is a living thing, so I think it counts.
It does.
In samsara rules. In the doctrine.
In the doctrine.
What tree would you choose to be reincarnated as?
This is a good one. I think it's a little bit rough because you're not supposed to technically choose, but I don't think you can. I'm feeling a broadleaf tree, which is weird. I think maybe I'm just in a moment in my life where I just kind of want to like take a breath and just kind of be like, hey, you guys, I'm going to go away.
Hmm.
And just do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just want to live forever. So it's not going to be an alder by any means. Get out of here.
No.
But,
not going to be a willow.
No. I don't think so.
You're thinking in the genre of old, long living, big. I'm assuming East Coast broadleaf tree.
No, maybe. Honestly, I'm feeling like a beech tree. Like a big beech that's just going to slowly pump at it and never do anything too insane. Every now and then, I'm going to fall apart, but then I'm just going to regrow a new thing.
Sure.
It's going to be fine. And hopefully I'll live for 500 more years.
Okay.
Enough time to think about what I did wrong to become a tree from a human, and then make that correction.
Oh, there's an HBO series waiting to happen.
Oh God, there is. Yeah. So I think I would go with probably a European beech because I think they're less likely to be completely cut down than our American beech.
Interesting.
Or at least that? Maybe.
Fagus europaea.
Oh, not europaea. It is Selvatica of the forest. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was the American.
No, that one is Grandiflora, big leaf. Yeah.
I can't keep up with all
Grandifolia. These. Grandifolia. My God.
Wow, Casey. See, you're definitely not a Grandifolia.
I can't even know. It's like, I don't know, my cousin's name, Joe, Jill, I don't know.
Joe, Jill. Okay,
what
so
do you think?
European beach for you, Case.
Yeah.
You know, I'm torn. I'm of two minds here.
Okay.
on one hand, I'm like bristlecone pine.
Ah, yeah.
Up in the mountains by myself for 1,000 years. Sounds great. Nobody around me but Tobin Mitnick visiting every once in a while.
Yeah. Hey, Tobin, it's good to see you.
Of course, then you got to compete with Methuselah, and you know that guy's an asshole.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
On the other end, I'm like, hey, I want to get that life done with as fast as possible. Make me like a weed of a tree of heaven in somebody's yard.
Oh yeah.
They're just going to pick up at the first sight, and then I can be a squirrel like my hopes.
That is your true dream.
Yeah.
So really your new reincarnation is just a means to the next end.
Yes. Yes.
I'm
gaming the system, you see. Yeah. I actually
is
instead
this like
of
tanking your season so you get first round pick.
Yes, exactly. So this is it's my rebuilding year. Yeah, I don't want squirrel. I want a well-loved house cat has,
gotcha.
I think, is basically the best thing you can come back as.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Or a billionaire. I don't know.
You know, you'll have so much hate and for yourself included.
I will be an, I'll pay to have my name erased from history so nobody knows who I am.
Good work, Alex.
Thank you so much, A. Sibs, for your very timely and on-topic question. If you've got a question for us, like Casey said, join the Patreon at the $3 tier, patreon.com/arbitrarypod. What is Patreon? It is the best way to support this little podcast that could.
That's right.
And there are tier levels for everybody. It is a monthly subscription. However, we are discussing lump sum yearly subs.
Yes, we'll see how that works.
Yeah, we got to go into the settings and see how that works.
How does this work? patreon.com/help.
We got to call Jack Conte.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to talk with Jack. Jack, if you're hearing this, just give us a shout.
Oh my God. He does like a series of sit downs with Patreon people.
That'd be awesome. Yeah,
so
I'd do that.
I feel like the Cone of the Month Club is cool enough where he could be like, tell me about this.
Oh yeah, please. And also Pomplamoose crushed it. I love Pomplamoose's stuff.
Oh man, they were so of their time, weren't they?
They were,
Casey?
They really did. Yeah, yeah. They did what TikTok now has built a $1 trillion business on.
Good point, man. Of course, like I said, the crown, the sort of jewel in the crown of the BBC that is our Patreon is the Cone of the Month Club. $10 a month goes to us. What goes to you is a monthly conifer cone sticker illustrated by a different artist. It comes with a little cone card. They're in all different styles, Casey.
That's right.
We just got the shipment of this month's cones.
Just got it today. It's the Jack Pine from June. So July is still on its way, which means you still have time to sign up.
While we have you, here's how the Cone of the Month Club works. When the month that you sign up, the next month you will receive your first cone.
Exactly. We have to do a bunch of calculations and see who got it. We have to take the data, turn it into paper, and then send it to you via the post.
So everybody who is signed up currently at the end of June receives their cone from June in July.
Correct.
It's just the way we got to do it. I know it's confusing, but you know what? So is economics.
Turn it off, Alex. Just put an end to it.
I really could not think of something.
It was beautiful, though. It was your exasperation was so well done.
Well, I have a lot of practice. Above that is Arbitrary Plus, our live stream tier. Every month, you get two live streams, one from Casey and I and one from just me playing a tree or nature-themed video game.
That's right. Today, we're doing one actually in 5 minutes.
That's right. We are ranking the summer fruits and vegetables. That's the kind of content you can expect on Arbitrary Plus.
Right. I mean, because, well, we need to, we actually have a lot of opinions, you and I, Alex.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes we need to be like, you know what, Alex, let's talk all about not trees for a second.
I love it, Casey.
Beautiful.
Let's talk about indie bands. Above that, of course, $20 a month, generous admission. It is just the biggest thank you can give us besides just listening to the show and sharing with your friends. Casey Clapp.
Alex Trussman.
We have come to the end of our summer vacation. We are stinky. We have not washed our underwear in a couple weeks.
We've had a lot of foods from a lot of different parts of this world.
Yep.
Our body biome is really confused right now.
We get on that airplane home. We find out that our first class seats have been demoted to coach.
Really, the sad thing is for the people who are sitting next to us.
Oh, yeah.
We're sorry. We did. We promised we showered.
Casey, thank you for this journey. It's been a fun one. I hope you've had fun, too.
I really have. Like I said, I really like learning about new trees and new cultures
and
how they interact.
This was you just threw you into the lion's den here.
Sure did. Haven't done this since our first around the world trip, actually.
That's right. The world tour.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a good time, Case. Yeah. That was a long time ago. That was almost like 2 years ago.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
Wow.
On our way.
Thank you so much to you, dear listener, dear Fungal Associate, for listening. We are taking a week off next week, so you'll get a bonus episode. The week after that, we're back with more trees.
More completely arbitrary.
That's right. We will see you then. Goodbye.
Catch you later. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.